being called the preacher, but that's, you know, it's another story for another time. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
All right. Nick, you have the stage.
Yes, and I believe Cheryl Arson is going to come up and join me. I'm going to get my PowerPoint pulled up and we'll be ready to go. Alrighty. Nick Harrington, Communications Manager. Thank you very much for having us on. Today we're going to discuss fishing South Dakota. So this is something that we talked about at your January meeting. Those resident anglers in particular from 2020. During that pandemic, we saw a lot of anglers, especially those resident anglers, increase for annual fishing license sales. And unfortunately we didn't see them all come back in 2021. So how are we going to get our residents back engaged with us in 2022, as well as showcase the destination fisheries that we have throughout? I'll do a quick shout out to the river you see right behind us here in Lake Sharp. That is possibly my favorite place to be, but I'll leave that up to debate. So we'll kind of go through this, talk about how we're going to reach these folks, and then I'll pass it off to Shayla Larson, and she'll discuss more of the R3 and education elements of this as well. So objective. Again, I reference those destination fisheries. You know, we've got Lake Oahe right up the road. We've got Lake Sharp here. Up in northeast South Dakota, we have some excellent fisheries as well. The Black Hills, we're fortunate with what we have here in South Dakota. I mean, we really are. We can catch walleyes, we can catch salmon, we can catch trout, we can catch smallmouth. You guys know me, I've tried to catch a smaller salmon. I don't have the patience quite for that. But we're also really fortunate to have some awesome urban fisheries here as well. I mean, I don't think there's a person in South Dakota that doesn't have an awesome fishery less than, you know, 30 minutes away from them. You can go right down the road and you can have a great time fishing. You can catch a lot of fish. That's something that every resident we have here is really fortunate to have. And so we really want to educate those anglers basic skills, advanced skills. I won't steal too much of Shayla's thunder here, but I mean, there's a lot of things that we want to meet people where they are, and as part of those education efforts, we have some other priorities, such as aquatic invasive species that we need to educate anglers on. Whether they're new anglers, whether they're, you know, some anglers that have been fishing with us for 20, 25 years and keep coming back. And so ultimately our goal is to increase those resident and non-resident annual fishing license sales and the utilization of all the fisheries we have here in South Dakota. So what does this look like in my head? Kind of terrifying, so I'm going to break this down a little bit. So this is where this all comes in, but I just wanted to give you guys all a snapshot what this looks like, and now I'll put this into normal people speak here for a little bit. So those destination fisheries, this is something that really we want to start talking about right now, and we're going to up until about that middle of May. Target audience is going to be those current resident anglers that we have, but also those non-resident anglers, whether they've fished in South Dakota before or whether they haven't. We're going to reach them via targeted email. We have all those emails of folks that have fished with us, and we're fortunate to have a lot of non-resident small game hunters that, you know, we know that South Dakota is the best place to pheasant hunt, but that doesn't mean you can't come in May and take advantage of the great fishing as well. We'd love to have them back. And then we also have a social media series that is going to showcase many of these parks, because our parks are right on these fisheries. I mean, as you guys leave town or if you go further north, you're going to find awesome parks along the river. You're going to find awesome parks in the northeast, absolutely western South Dakota, southeast. Again, we're really fortunate with what we have here. And every slide at this point has a story. So I have to call out that I'm holding the two largest fish in this picture on the lower left-hand side. That was the only time I caught the biggest fish of the trip last March. It was 1 week ago next year. So, I mean, we're basically that time of year. So hopefully we replicate that picture soon. And then the other picture, I do have to concede that, I don't always catch the big fish. But showing is a team effort, so I can take advantage of it. Urban fisheries. I mean, this is exactly what I talked about. There are some awesome fisheries 10, 15, 20 minutes away from everybody that lives in this city. And that's really where I hope we can make ground on those lapsed resident anglers. because maybe in the pandemic, I'll take my family for example, you know, when there's not softball, when there's not baseball and all the school activities that we're used to having, you know, maybe fishing is number 10 on your priority list. Well, when one through five aren't available, that moves up and you have more time to get out on the water. Now, as we kind of return to that normal, maybe fishing starts to slide down. But that doesn't mean that we don't have 2 hours to get out and enjoy an evening on the water close to home. Fishing doesn't have to be something that you travel, you know, up to Watertown, Webster, up here to Pier to fish. You can do it right in Sioux Falls, and you can have a lot of fun doing. So we're gonna take those audiences down, folks that we know are purchasing fishing licenses that we still have for current anglers, and then we're going to have the information for those folks that have lapsed from 2020. So each will receive a different series. They'll be focused on mentorship for those current anglers, but then also the opportunities that we have our open house weekend. We have Mother's Day. We have Father's Day. There are great weekends already set aside to come out and enjoy our parks and fisheries without even needing a fishing license. And then hopefully they have such a great time that they come back. And this story here is one of those urban fisheries. And I just want you all to know that, you know, maybe our patience might not be too long, but as long as we catch a couple catfish and we have a really fun time with the ones we do, we can have a great time on the water. And he knows that I enjoy fishing tournaments. So I just want y'all to know that catfish right there was worth 10 points. So I just have to make that abundantly clear that if that was how tournaments were, I'd be really, really good. Those blasting cast opportunities, that exactly what I talked about with those non-resident pheasant hunters, you know, this was us on East River Deer Opener. It was the weekend after East River Deer Opener, and we were looking for deer, and we were catching walleyes in the same time. That picture in the lower left-hand side, that was pheasant opening morning. We were in the boat, fish cleaned, and we left the ramp at 9:58. So we could have easily gone right over and started fishing. The fishing was that good. We released a lot of small fish. So, again, what I really want to stress to these folks is, you know, when you come up here to pheasant hunt, make it a really memorable trip. Whether you want to start the day and go fish jigs or go cast crankbaits from the shoreline right as the sun comes up and then hit the field at 10 o'clock, or whether you have a great day in the field and then that's how you want to end the day, enjoying a sunset and catching some walleyes. You know, we're pretty fortunate that bite windows are right around those timelines. You can do a lot of things in one trip. And so, again, we'll be including that in our pheasant hunting contest, in that Ringneck Outlook, in the emails we send through that, just to make sure that folks know of all the opportunities they have when they come to South Dakota. And then ice fishing. These pictures right here show why my grade point average probably wasn't as big as it should be going to Brookings. We had a lot of fun catching big perch and big walleye through the ice. But this is something we'll talk about as November and the winter months roll along. Again, we have some incredible ice fishing opportunities, especially in the northeast part of the state. We have some great opportunities that take place out in the Black Hills. So that's something that encouraging those folks to come take advantage of everything we have here in South Dakota, because really, you can have a great time on the water, you know, every single day of the year. And aquatic invasive species. So that's where this education component comes in. We want to educate anglers and boaters on aquatic invasive species, spread that awareness, make sure that we're getting them to do what they need when it comes to clean, drain, and dry, do their part to slow the spread, particularly of those zebra mussels. And that's really what we want to focus on, the various species we're discussing, the various water bodies that they might be present, and then what they need to do, whether it's to follow the law or just to do their part and make sure they're doing their part to help slow the spread. Water safety is extremely important as well. There's always, unfortunately, a couple incidents that take place throughout the summer months, and ice fishing can absolutely have its moments as well, but we need to make sure we have safety at the top of mind. So as we're encouraging anglers to use these fisheries, as we're getting them involved in the sport, we want to make sure that they're being safe, and it's going to ultimately be a great time as well. And then ultimately, and I want to mention this before I really turn this over to Shayla, it's about the recruitment, retention, and reactivation of anglers. Retention, you know, that's those destination fisheries, trophy fish. You know, we just had the world record salmon come out of Lake Oahe this October. We just had that take place. We have awesome, awesome fisheries here in South Dakota, regardless what species you want to catch. And our state park, You know, there's modern lodging, there's campsite. However you want to come and enjoy fishing in South Dakota, we have what you need. And I really, really hope that we can encourage anglers to come, have fun, and bring their families as well. And then again, that recruitment, retent, and reactivation, that's where I think we can really make headway with those urban fisheries, short trips, family opportunities, and showcasing those species that are easy to catch. I'll reference again, I believe catfish were worth 10 points for largemouth bass after 25. So if you follow that scale, you can have a great score at the end of the day. But these pictures are probably my favorite ones here. And this is from when my family came up to visit in August. They stayed out at our cabins at Spring Creek, where they were staying in one of our state parks. We were able to take the kids out in the boat, and they were able to have a great time. We did boat rides. We did fishing in the morning. I promise we caught walleyes bigger than that one. But with two young kids, it's tough to get a picture that looks that good. And we were even to go, we fished right in the marina. And Malachi, my little brother, kept casting and casting. I couldn't get the rod out of his hand. He was casting for smallmouth all day long in the marina. And that's exactly what I hope. I hope we can capture here. And just so everybody knows, we don't usually look like that. We usually look a lot more like that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Shayla.
You know, let's try and bring a little
enthusiasm here. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Commissioners and Secretary Rowland, for letting me kind of share some exciting news. So along with myself, Nick, David Parker, and Lacey Elrod all worked on the 2022 RBFF grant proposal, and we were lucky enough to receive that grant. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about our plans. To kind of put those monies into good use and hopefully have a good result. So a little bit of an overview. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the project overview, how we're going to evaluate that, and then also share the budget. So the overall goal of this is we're really going to almost kind of use this as a study. So the goal is we're going to have three locations, where it's in Sioux Falls, here, and Rapid City. The goal is for each location to have 20 participants, so we'll show up to three separate day activities or meetings or class setting, whatever you want to call it. And there's three overarching main goals that we have for these, and that's to provide quality education, build anglers to build past just this program. We want to really build them as people and really build that confidence and those skills. And also take the time to gather data through this. So if we keep going here, I can get a little bit further into what the incentive will be for these folks. So just to kind of give you a timeline first, we have three phases to this. So the first phase is registration and pre-surveying. So we're hoping to get these participants, within on our list, get them pre-surveyed anywhere between April 1st and May 31st. So we can kind of get those folks on our docket. Then over the course of the summer, they'll have three different meeting times to kind of reflect a catch it, clean it, cook it type of scenario where they're going to be doing that in different courses so they can really build those skills. And then after those classes are completed, we're going to have a post-survey that needs to be given anywhere between August 1st and August 31st. And then after we have that data, we're going to give it a month, let folks get back into school, let, you know, the monotony of life come back as summer, you know, ends, and then we're going to survey them again to kind of see what their intentions might be. So a little bit on the budget, I'll give you a screenshot here of that. As you can see, within writing the proposal of this grant, we included a lot of consumables because, you know, asking 20 folks in each location to show up to an event three separate times plus surveying, that's a big ask for folks. So you can see in the budget we include advertising. It's going to take a big kind of strength on that end. Providing them a fishing kit with a tackle box, tackle, rod and reel, some consumables such as bait and cooking supplies. We also needed to include some staffing because at each of these events we're going to have, you know, GFP staff there as well as volunteers. We'd like to do some videography with this, as well as print materials, such as the fishing handbook and the local fisheries map. So the overall, this comes to an investment of $200 per person, which, believe it or not, that's actually not terrible. I'm sure you've seen some other grants of investments per person. So it's very, very feasible, and we're excited to kind of see what the outcome of this will be. And the overall goal for this is to kind of give us a kickoff initiative for Fishing 101. So in the state, we have a very strong and beneficial Hunting 101 program, and we'd like to see the same done with Fishing 101. So the overall goal is to kind of use this data to show that a Fishing 101 or a multiple class series, a Fishing 101 is really beneficial in retaining those participants. That's pretty much all I have for that. We're super excited to dive into this summer, and I'll open the floor for any questions you have.
Yeah, what's the age groups are you targeting? Is this just anybody or younger participants? Or?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. So the age range is from 18 to 35.
Yes, Commissioner Rissler, how will you decide who the participants are? How will they be selected?
That's a great question. Thank you, Commissioner. There's going to be somewhat of a vetting process. As a team, we haven't necessarily nailed that down yet. But overall, it obviously needs to be someone who isn't super familiar with fishing yet, or maybe they've been removed from the hobby for quite some time. We don't want to include folks that have had a really strong fishing background, because the goal is to build new anglers in this scenario. So if they fished in the past, that's okay. But more so for the folks that have been, you know, apart from it or never really introduced their families to it at this
time. So how are they going to know you're doing this? Will that be part of the marketing? You're going to throw this out there, we're doing this, we want you to connect with us?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Great question. Thank you.
Any other questions from Chris?
Great presentation. Good job, you two.
Thank you.
And I think at this time...